Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Imperfectly in coffee shops, our offices are everywhere. Everywhere the subtle change with the scent in the rain. We advance nice. DNA 67%, and then we blend in the background by military men.
Good evening, everybody. Good morning. Good day. Depends on what time and where you are in the world. I mean, it's evening for us and morning for Sochil over there. So it's good to see everybody here. So today, well, let's just kind of warm up a little bit here. I haven't talked to you guys in a little while. Jack, Sochil, how are you? How was your week?
Yeah.
Good. Got a little sick. Jack, how was your holiday today? Today's Korean Thanksgiving.
The holiday's been pretty relaxing. We, you know, like every holiday, I ate too much. There's just a lot of food and family and some Netflix, you know, just very simple,
food,
relaxing.
Family.
Yeah.
Did you watch any Korean sports? You know, in America, when on Thanksgiving Day, it's always football. And in Korea, it's the Sidom, it's wrestling.
Oh no, I didn't watch any Sidom. I don't know how to pronounce
Sidom.
The belt wrestling. Yeah, no,
right. Dr. Cardio, what's up? Good to see you. Are you? Why Dr. Cardio? Do you exercise a lot? That sounds.
He studies something about that.
He wants to be a cardiac surgeon. He wants to operate.
Oh, that's.
Parts. Yeah,
very cool. That's cooler than just exercising a lot. Well done.
Yeah, he's a serious student right now.
Nice. And hello from Peru, from Laba. You can pronounce that name, Sochil.
Julissa. Hello, Julissa.
Nice. And Ollie as well. Good to see you all here. And we've got a few more people joining as we go.
So, what's your guys' favorite holiday food? From Korea.
Oh, Kev, you go first because I know you love this question.
holiday foods are kind of interesting. I mean, there's something my mother-in-law cooks amazing foods, so there's so much. I think the kind of like jeon, it's kind of like little mini, people call it Korean pancakes, but it's really not. It's something that you cook it on a grill, but there's like meat and there's many different styles of it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are always really good. And then the one thing that I enjoy about Chuseok holiday is the making some of the food. I always help make it. Normally in Korea, you go to the husband's family's house. But my family and Jack, your family, of course, is in America, right? So we go to our wife's family's house as well. And so on holidays, I've earned the nickname in Korean. It's like Kevin daughter-in-law. Like I'm called the daughter-in-law because I help cook. I don't just sit around. Like I don't do a lot. You know, my mother-in-law still does most of it, but I help doing what I can. And we make dok rice cake here. It's songgun. It's a special kind of rice cake where there's like special like sweet kind of nuts and stuff inside it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not very good at making the actual rice cake, like kind of like dumpling rice cakes. But I'm good at kneading the dough because I have the muscles. So I push the dough down and then I give it to the family and they make it pretty from there.
Nice.
What was the thing that you ate the most of today?
Me? You talking to me? Oh, okay. Songpyeon. I ate the rice cake with chestnuts on the inside, kind of crushed chestnut.
And sugar and honey and like
a little bit of honey or brown sugar. I'm not sure what was used in this one, but my wife steamed it and it was really good. Yeah, it's
nice.
It's very nice. Yeah. What about? I'm kind of curious about in Mexico. What is the like Thanksgiving tradition?
Well, we are indigenous, so we were slain. But
so it's not something that is it like a, does it have a negative like
No, it doesn't.
Well, but it doesn't have to be negative. Thanksgiving, because like
harvest festival.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's exactly. It's the harvest festival. Like
yeah.
Most.
Yeah, we have a harvest. We don't really have like a Thanksgiving thing, obviously, but we do have harvest. Well, a lot of the traditional Thanksgiving foods from the U.S. are Native American foods, right? Like mashed potatoes, right. Sweet potatoes, turkey, yeah. Like all of that. And then here in Mexico during the harvest time, here in Oaxaca specifically in some of the regions, they make a tamal that's stuffed with like bean paste, spicy, salty bean paste and sweet corn.
Is it not tamale? Sorry, I'm just surprised. I always thought it was tamale.
It is tamale. Yeah, I was trying to, you know.
you're American. Okay.
Yes, it's tamale.
This is a different food.
It's a type of tamale that's made with like a spicy, salty bean paste and sweet corn.
Spicy salty bean paste, cool.
Yeah, and that's interesting because Korea uses a lot of bean paste for things. Right,
usually so, kind of sweet though.
I always thought like Korean food and Mexican food are so they're so similar, like not similar, but they fuse together very nicely.
Like, yeah, they have a lot of similarities, like as far as techniques of cuisine or like ingredients, like spices and spicy food and. Black beans, like a lot of stuff, rice, there's a lot of things that are like slightly similar.
yeah. But they kind of evolved on their own separate paths. They're just, just happen to be similar, but it's not because of any relationship between the two. Cause they're so far away.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's cool.
Becky, good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Got I'm some seeing some people. familiar names over here.
Hello. Hello. And KK, it's a good letter. I've got Kevin over here, so also a good letter. And Layla, don't worry about being late. We're all doing well. It's good to good to see you. Good to see you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kev, do you want to kind of introduce what we're doing today? Like what our idea was?
So today for everyone here, last week we just kind of talked and introduced Xochitl, of course. But today, and starting from today for every week, just to keep things a little bit more educational for everyone out there, we thought that we would try something new, and we're going to talk about some specific verb types today and how you can use those, and we'll give some examples. And hopefully, after we give these examples, if you're by your chat, if you're able to type to us, type some examples to us about how you could use these or some situation where you could use it, and then we'll comment on those as well. So today what we want to talk to, and we'll open up our slides in just a little, we'll be proper teachers today.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to talk about a phrasal verb. So Jack, Xochitl, do either one of you want to define that? What is a phrasal verb?
I'll let Jack do that.
Okay. I'll try to handle that one. So a phrasal verb is where you have like a verb that if you add a preposition to it, it doesn't always have to be a preposition, but it could be a preposition, usually a preposition. So for example, I'll give you an example. To work is like just to do your job, to work at your job. But if I add the preposition out at the end of work, if I say work out in English, that changes the meaning completely to something else. That's a new verb. And to work out means to exercise. So.
Right.
Yeah,
so phrasal verbs, I mean, you'll see this a lot. We've got like noun phrases and verb phrases and phrasal verbs in English, where it's for the phrasal verbs that we're going to be doing today, it's still a verb, right? So it's an action.
Yeah, it functions as a verb. Yeah.
Right, it functions as a verb. It's the same. It's an action word, you know, go, do, jump, eat, whatever. But then we add something else to it and it changes it. And the conjugation and how you use them is a little bit interesting. And that's where things can get tricky. With the phrasal verbs, because like Jack was saying, like work out. Well, how do you do that in past tense, Jack? Like yesterday, I went to work out. So how do we do that in past tense?
Right, are you asking me? We would say worked out. So
right,
you still put the ed. No workouted. Yeah.
Right. The verb basically stays the same. That's what changes, but the whole phrasal verb itself is together. But we only change that beginning part there. So that's what a phrasal verb is, and that's how you use it. So we've got a few examples, and today we're going to be using, there's so many phrasal verbs out there, and you will see many of them. And hopefully once you start to hear two or three, then even when you hear a new one, one that you haven't specifically been taught in a podcast or on YouTube, you'll still understand how the grammar works, because language grammar is basically language math. So once you understand the basics, then you can go from there.
Yeah. And well, I think in English has a lot of phrasal verbs. Do you want to? Oh, there we go. Work out. Yeah.
Yep.
I would put an I never in front of that. Yeah.
I never, you never work out. You work out a lot though, Jack. You work out almost every day, don't you?
Not these days. It's
been a while. Because the semester got started again.
Yeah. Yeah. I got busy. Whenever I get busy, that's the first thing that gets kind of chopped off the schedule.
I'm trying to get back into my schedule as well. So, Layla, what about help and help out? This is different. I mean, work and work out are very different, right? Work is do your job. Work out is exercise. Help and help out are both similar to each other. They're both involved with helping. Help out is more just to give someone help. But both of these are quite similar.
Right. There's a lot of, you know, these are not hard and fast rules. These are kind of general rules, we would say, with some exceptions. Right. Yeah. Should I bring
love your word choice here. Jubilant. That's awesome. Yeah. That well done.
And our fruitful methods. I like that too. Yes.
We can go with those. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, Jack, you're in control of our phrasal verbs, and all of these today are using the word come, right? So there's many different things, and we're going to give you 10 examples today, but we'll see what we can go. Again, as we give you examples, please type some examples of your own for us, and we'll see what we can do and what these mean and how you use them, things like that. So Jack,
there we go. Okay, let me pop it up there. Okay, so our first one is come across. So come across, and I don't know, should we just let this kind of sink in a little bit for our viewers out there before we give them an example or show the answer?
Well, I think we can make a guess. I mean, let's try and think about it by ourselves. But to come across, what is across? Normally across means like, you know, you walk across the street or something is across from you, things like that. So can we kind of make a guess from these?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an intersection, right? You're walking along, you're minding your own business, and then something, you see something. You are at the market and you run into your friend accidentally.
Oh, so, there we go. That's what Akshat said there, to meet someone by chance. Yeah. So you meet your friend in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Although Robin had an interesting point here that you can come across as friendly, which is very different as well.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of different uses of come across.
And give your first one. Yeah, Jack.
Yeah, the main one that I was thinking was to find something by accident. It could be a person or it could be a thing. So when I was cleaning my room, I came across my middle school diaries. So something that you forgot about a long time ago, and then you just accidentally came across it. And there you go.
Yeah, you came across it. You weren't expecting to. You were just looking, and it's like you're cleaning all of these things, and you suddenly come across it. Like, oh wow, I forgot about this book. I haven't seen this in forever. You came across it. Or you're searching the internet for something, and you found some more information that you came across. Like, oh yeah, today I came across some information about how blah, blah, blah works.
So you find. Should we take a look at Ali's example?
Yeah, nice. Came across with my ex-friend.
So ex-friend
is a bit strange to start off with. We don't really say that too much.
I would say old friend.
Yeah, an old friend would be better. Nice.
And so then, I came across, and I would get rid of with, because with means that you came across the thing together with somebody else. But actually, you're talking about your friend is the person that you came across. So you would just say, I came across an old friend. I accidentally met an old friend. I came across an old friend.
Yeah. And then Becky here saying, I came across your website. It's a great example. The grammar is perfect. Although, Nikki, I would ask, how did you come across our website? Because how you came across it is going to be important for whether the context works or not in here. If it's because I sent you a webpage or I sent you the link in our WhatsApp group and you clicked it and you went there, I don't think that's really coming across it because it wasn't by accident. Right? I sent you something and you clicked it because you wanted to check my webpage. Whereas if you were on Google and you were just typing like English podcasts, blah, 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 and then you see it, then that's accidental. You weren't looking for our podcast or our website specifically, but you found it, so you came across it.
Right.
I think Layla had one too. We skipped it. It says, when I study, I came across Fantastic Expression. Is it correct? I guess I would say, when I study, I come across Fantastic Expressions would work. But like you said, Kevin, if you're studying specifically, then would it count as coming across? I think it can work in this example.
It could.
I would say like use the past continuous. When I was studying, I came across. So you have the longer action. I was studying. And then what happened shortly is I came across a fantastic expression, maybe something like that. I think both, like Sochil's, your first example was correct also. It depends on the context, I think, right?
I also think something that's important to point out here is I noticed this a lot for people who are non-native English speakers. A lot of times their phrases are like the sentences they use. I don't know if it's because it's direct translations from their original language, but they're more wordy than what we would say. Like, if we're speaking naturally, I probably wouldn't tell you like, oh, when I study Korean, I come across Fantastic Expressions. I probably wouldn't say that. It doesn't sound natural in English. I'd just be like, we tend to say things pretty simply. Like I'd be like, oh, I came across some cool words or some cool expressions or some cool phrases.
All right. I just came across something. Done. Keep it.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
Perfect.
What's the next one? So what's our next phrasal verb that we are going to come across?
Here we go. Come along.
Come along. I think this one is probably easy to guess as well. If you do something along with other people.
How would you guys describe it then? How would you define it? Before I show you the definition from the book, what's your definition?
So since you're saying that we have definitions, I think Robin had a good point. Phrasal verbs are the English multiverse. And so we're all going to have different expressions and different ideas of what these mean and how to use them.
True.
I would say come along would be to join me, right? Come along. You know, like it's already a definition, more of an example. So I'm going to go to dinner. Hey, Sochil, do you want to come along? Right? Do you want to join me?
Yeah.
And hopefully she says yes, although it's morning for her.
Yeah, always down for some dinner in the morning. But I think come along, I agree with Kevin's perception of it. Generally, it'd be like, hey, you want to come along? You want to tag along is also a phrase that's used often. Tag but along. Generally means for someone to join you or tag along. Come with you somewhere.
Right. Yeah, it kind of does mean to accompany, more or less, to join.
And I'll just, there you go, you nailed it. Accompany. Accompany someone when you're going somewhere.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
University, why don't you come along? I think that's great, although I would just add, I think we want a little bit more context. Why are you going to the university? Right, I'm going to go to the university to study, or I'm going to go to pick something up, or I'm going to go to meet my friend. Why don't you come along?
Yeah, like if I'm going to the campus, why don't you come along? That makes perfect sense to me. But if you say, I'm going to start studying at university, like I'm going to enter university, why don't you come along? It's too casual for that situation. That's a huge life decision. So you probably wouldn't say, why don't you come along to university? You would probably use something a little bit stronger language, more serious language.
And Riri, I wish you would let us come along with you. Well, fortunately, we have let you come along with us. You're here right now. So thanks for joining. Thanks for coming along for this evening. today's chat.
There you go. Okay, I think is that one clear? Is if anyone
I think that one's pretty easy. Yeah, a company.
Yeah. Okay.
Number three.
Come back.
I think this one's probably pretty beginner. This one's a lot of people are going to know what this one means.
Yeah. Just return. Come back. Don't go. Come back. Come back. Yeah. Turn around and come back. Right.
Yeah.
Don't leave the live stream.
Old movie example. If you've seen the Terminator movies, you know, I'll be back. I'll come back.
There you go.
The same thing. Come back here. Yeah. Come back. Hey, wait, come back. Your friend is leaving. Come back. Come back. I've got something to show you.
This one is actually not a comeback one. Let's see here. I'm looking for an example with comeback. Yeah, I mean, we probably don't need one, right? I think it's pretty easy, right?
Comeback is pretty easy. Yeah, you want someone to return. Exactly. It's used in exactly the same way. And so remember, for past tense, we can use, we don't say come back to, but we would just say to came back, right? He came back, she came back. So he's hoping his girlfriend will come back. But many years later, she never came back, even after all of these years. Poor guy.
Zaza has a really interesting one. I think we can fix this one, right? sorry. Hold on a second. Let me get the right one here.
Ah, nice.
I won't come back to my hometown. In this case, it's the subject is a little bit wrong, right? Sochal, how would you fix that one? Oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the hot seat there.
Okay. I think this one kind of works. I won't come back to my hometown. I thought, to me personally, I thought it could work, but so tell me, I'm interested to see how, because sometimes there are disagreements between native speakers. Actually,
no,
so
I think it's possible if somebody would use this expression, it would be fine. It's grammatically correct. In this case though, come back. Usually I would change it to like he or she, like she won't come back to my hometown. So I'm in the hometown and somebody leaves and I want them to come back. If I already left, in that case, I would change come to go.
Yes. Sorry, I won't
go back to my hometown. Does that, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, that's the thing with comeback is by saying I won't come back to my hometown. So comeback means return. Right. And if you're coming back to something, it means you're already there and you're going to come back to it again. So by saying you won't come back to your hometown, that implies that you are right now in your hometown. So it's strange to say that. But like right now, I won't go back to my hometown because now I'm not in my hometown. So I won't go back. But if I'm currently there, then I can say, oh, I will come back again next year. Right?
You could say I won't come back to my hometown, but it'd have to be something you said like as you were leaving.
I won't come back to this back place. Right.
I'll come back there tomorrow. You go.
Yeah.
And here's another
is you're already there.
Here's another reason why we hate English so much, right? Return can mean go back and come back. Like please return and I won't return. So both of those have the same meaning as go back and come back. So
the big differences there.
We'll be flexible, so I'll accept it. Yeah.
All right. So as I was saying, they're not in their hometown. They left immediately. So, right. In that case, if you're not there, you would say I won't go back, not come, because come means to go. Like, you're already there to it.
Ooh.
So I wouldn't go back.
Akshat's got a really dark one here. Let's share that one.
Oh,
those who die never come back. You have to come to terms with their deaths.
That's very deep. Some philosophy here.
Yeah, we got a philosophy major right there, maybe.
Yep. Yeah. And Jack, here's before we move to the last one, this is something you probably say to your daughter almost every day.
When will you come back home? Yeah, right.
Right. Your daughter goes out to your friends. Okay, go have fun with your friends. But when are you coming home? When will you come back home?
All right,
go to the next one.
Come off.
Okay.
This one I think has too many examples, too many different kind of context.
Let's see what your definition is, and then we can
go ahead. When something becomes separated or unstuck from another thing. So you know, you glue something to something, but it came off. It broke off. Came off. Same thing, right?
Came off is okay. Yeah. You stick something to your window and it was there for a long time and it popped off. It came off. Right. Where was it? I don't know. It was stuck to the window. It came off. It's on the front. It's on the ground now. It came off.
Interesting, because I was thinking of it in a different context, which is to come off a certain way.
Yeah, to like appear, like
nice. Yeah, like to come off stuck up or come off rude, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, come off.
That's a good one as well. So yeah, so chill. You come off as very chill and very nice. Jack and I come off as very old.
And out of touch. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's how we appear, how people think of you when they first see you, right? Just based on your first impression. You come off as nice or mean or happy or sad or whatever. Uh-huh. Or smart. Yeah. Come off. Nice. Yeah. That's a good extra different, completely different definition. But yeah.
Totally different definition, but we use both of them. So
yeah. We're in that multiverse.
Yep. Okay, let's move on. Unless we have any questions here. Nope. Okay.
Remember that the comments always come in like a few seconds later, so we'll probably get something in a minute, but we only have a few more to go anyway. Oh, come on, Jack. Another one?
Come on.
Come on. What are you doing here?
What are you doing? This one is almost like what would you call it? Like an interjection.
Oh, hold on a second though. Let's see. Oh, okay. Layla's here. My brothers and sisters came off recently. I think Layla, this is a bit strange. Definitely, I think what you're trying to say is that your brothers and sisters like separated from you, maybe recently. In that case, it's a bit strange because they're not like stuck to you, right? That's where the definition we were using. You know, they're stuck to you, and then it comes off. Brothers and sisters aren't really going to come off because they're not physically attached to you. They're not stuck.
Yeah. When we're talking about like the physically separating from something, we're just using inanimate objects. When we're talking about people and we say come off, we're usually meaning their personality, like how they present exterior at first. Like, oh, they came off or they came off, blah, blah, blah. That's usually in terms of relation to people.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so in this case, it'd be like if a child bought a toy and the arm came off, the arm broke off. The arm came off and the child started crying. So to come off just means to break off, like come apart. Right. Yeah. I like this one from Riri.
Come on, don't do that.
What did she's sorry. Come on, don't do that. Yeah, oh, right.
Can I? Nice. This one's a bit small.
This one, right. we're going to test your eyesight here.
Glasses.
Can you read that one, Kev, or do you want me to?
The phrasal verb come on has multiple uses, but when it's used as an exclamation, it can be encouragement for someone to do something, or it can mean something like stop being ridiculous. Yeah, stop being great. Come on. Don't do that. Right. So I don't want to dance. I'm no good at it. Everyone will laugh at me. Ah, come on. Nobody cares. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Come on, it's okay. So, yeah,
good. Yeah, that one's just a expression that we use when somebody does something that you're not too pleased about, or you're encouraging them.
This is a good one. This is a good one, Mary. Yeah, you lifted the jug; the handle came off. That one definitely. That one definitely.
Yeah.
Worked. He came off two legs of his toy. Okay, so Layla, this is closer. But the legs of the toy are what came off, not him. Right. Mm-hmm. So the legs of the toy came off. The legs of his toy came off.
Right. Like two legs of his toy came off, you could say. Yep. Or otherwise you'd have to say he broke off, but that's another episode. He broke off two legs of his toy.
All right. So
I just threw an example sentence into the chat there. Okay. So come out. Let's take a look here. And again, this one is very small. I apologize. There's a little problem with the transfer from PowerPoint to our live stream. Come out. Okay.
It's something is away. You can't see it. It's hiding. And then it has appeared, right? It comes out.
Do you guys ever play hide and seek, as a child?
Of course.
Everybody did, right? And there's a chant we say when we play this game, we say, come out wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So come out means show yourself.
Right.
So
yeah, I think I like your example on here as well. It's cloudy right now, but the sun will come out later. Oh, because now the sun is hiding. That's a good mm-hmm. example that you've got yeah. up there. Or yeah, your little brother's hiding under the covers. He doesn't want to come out. He's in his room. He doesn't want to come out of his room because you're inside. You don't want to come out of it. Nice. Come over. Socho, when are you going to come over and hang out?
Come over, yeah. I'm going to walk.
It's an 18-hour flight. Yeah, you can take a boat. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, come over. Yeah, exactly. That is come over. When are you going to come over, essentially?
Yeah, come over to my side. Come to me, basically.
Yeah.
It just means like visit, right? Come visit me. Visit me. Yeah, visit.
Yeah.
So Jack came over last night and we hung out.
There you go.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone's house, though. I think that is the most common context. But like, you could be out somewhere and say like, hey, are you gonna come over? But that's usually never mind. usually it is houses.
Yeah, but my friend just coming over, so I'm whipping up some snacks. Actually, give me the snacks. I'm hungry.
Yeah,
I'll be right there.
Yeah, good one, Akshat. Yep.
Come over to the dark side. Oh, Robin.
Come over.
You're a Sith, aren't you? You got the red lightsabers.
Lord Vader Shaw.
Lord Shaw.
I'm going to come over my friend next week. Ah, in this case, how would you change this one?
Go.
My friend is coming over to my house next week.
Oh, that's it. Just easier. Keep it easier. I'm going to go over to my friend's house next week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If we're going to change the verb, then we would say, I'm going to go over. So I'm going, or my friend is coming to me. But mm-hmm. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming over to my friend's house because I'm not at my friend's house. I have to go away from my house to get to my friend's house.
Hmm.
I think go and come are really tricky, right? In English.
Next time, Ashcut. Yeah, they can be. I mean, it's something that I see a lot of people mix up in Korea. Definitely, I see a lot of students. It really is go is going one way, and coming is coming back, right? You're coming to wherever I am now. So come here, I will go to you. But they definitely do get mixed up very commonly.
Yeah. Now Riri has a more advanced usage of this. Do you want to take a look at it?
Watched his interview and he came over as quite arrogant. That's okay. Although I think we would
came
use
off or came across.
Came across, like we were saying earlier, would be better. Came over, yeah, is a bit strange. Came across would be better. And that's what we just did.
I think came off is the same as what Socho said before too. Came off as or came across as, those are the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
You use either one. Yeah, he either came off as quite arrogant or he came across as quite arrogant. But come over is usually like that physical action of coming over somewhere.
Right. Somebody's right. coming to you. Yeah.
And then let's do our last one here. Okay. Is to come through. Oh, hold on. Let's do this one. To come over to my uncle's house. Yes, Layla. If you are at your uncle's house right now, then that's perfect. Hey, come over to my uncle's house. Come here.
This is where if I am. You're going to go to your uncle's house, you have to use go over to my uncle's house.
That's you have to
be where the other person's coming over, or you're going where they've told you to come over.
All right. And the last one, to come through. Ah, this is actually a really good one. It's about trusting people, right? Like you ask someone to do something and they come through.
Yeah. To deliver. You did it. You came through. I said, I promised I would give you something and I brought it. I did it. I fulfilled my promise. I delivered the result.
So we said today that we would talk about some phrasal verbs. And so hopefully we came through with our promise and we've given you some examples of some phrasal verbs that you can use with your friends, family, or in our WhatsApp groups.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And do we have any examples here?
I'm sure we'll get a couple as they're going. Please come through the front door, not the back door. That's, of course, another one as well.
Another multiverse.
Another multiverse.
But yeah,
I can say I came through for the podcast. I wasn't sure I was going to come through for the podcast this morning, but I did. I was just miserably tired, but I was like, I have an obligation, so I have to do this.
Oh my gosh.
We need to switch the time zones. You're young. You'd be better at night and we'd be better in the morning.
It's so true. Yeah, that is so true. Yeah.
But anyway, you came through. So thank you. It's good to see you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
That's right.
Nice.
We have one more. I'm just looking for one more example, but if we don't have it, that's okay.
Yeah. So, all of those are really cool. And you can start to see how all of these phrasal verbs, and we can talk more about different phrasal verbs in future episodes, either on the podcast or here on the live stream for everyone there. But as you can see, all of these phrasal verbs are tricky. And a lot of them have many different meanings and many different definitions. But once you start to get the idea of how they work, then you can start to put two and two together and figure out how to use them for yourself as well.
Yeah.
So Layla came through the biggest gate using Robin's definition. Yep, that's great.
Yeah, it does mean to physically come through something, but yeah. This is more than you're talking about.
Wouldn't you have to say we can go through the biggest gate, though?
Go through?
We can
go through. But if it was past tense, if you're inside, you came through the biggest gate.
But it says we can come through the biggest gate.
We can. Then yes, you're right.
Yeah, we can go through the biggest gate, or we came through the biggest gate. Right.
Yep. Yeah. No, you are correct in that one. Really, my life come through you, mom. That's a bit strange. That one doesn't quite work. Your life was made from your mom, but it doesn't really come through your mom.
But you could be like, my mom said she would bake a cake for us, and she came through. She gave us the cake yesterday. Something like that.
There we go.
So, yeah.
All right. Nice. Well, thanks everybody for joining again. KK, actually, if you want to know this, we talked about this last week and we have the episode up online on our podcast. So look for the last week's live stream. It's on our website. Jack, can you type our website address for them right here?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And you can find the episode on the webpage or on YouTube as well. And you can hear Social's story because she introduced herself last time right there. So it was great to see everybody in here today. And we'll be back next week. We'll be here all the time. Next week, we'll probably be doing some more grammar lessons to help you with things that you can use in your everyday life. And if you're listening on the podcast, thanks for tuning in as well. Anything else to add?
Thanks for coming. Right, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Yep. Have a great day, evening, morning, whatever time it is there. And we will see you next week. In the same mask with the super flexed human skin, the weirdest life of I conduct experiments, and we're the agents among you. Disguise the gentleman, gentlemen, you. Disguise the gentleman among you. Disguise the gentleman, gentlemen, agents. Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.